Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Welcome to Blakey's Boot Room, the number one Cardiff City podcast. Brought to you by Wales Online.
Hello and welcome to Blakey's Boot Room, the Cardiff City podcast from Wales Online, brought to you by Giovanni's. A difficult start to 2019 for Cardiff City and no transfers as yet, at the time of speaking of course. But we're back in the studio here, Dominic Booth with Nathan Blake and Paul Abandonato. We'll discuss the poor performance against Huddersfield. We'll look ahead to Newcastle and of course have that chat about transfers with everyone seemingly talking about one man, Emiliano Sala. Nathan, welcome.
Good afternoon,
Dom. Good afternoon, Paul.
Hello.
And let's get straight into it then. We'll start with Huddersfield, which, let's be honest about this, Nathan. Let's not pull any punches. Does that sum it up for you?
It kind of does, yeah. It was probably our worst performance, I'd say, this season. Even going back to early season, the difference with early season, they were still adapting to the Premier League. Well, we've got over those things now. I just thought, and it happens, Dom. You have games where you're just not at the races.
Yeah.
I've been there myself. I've played in games like it. It's just unusual. I said this online. It's just unusual that when you know the significance of a game and the magnitude of that particular game and what it meant, a win, it's surprising that the boys didn't turn up. But, you know, it happens, mate. You know, it's if you're looking over the course of the last, say, 10 games, it's the first time you could say, it's the first time this season for me that I would say they haven't turned up, you know?
Can we ask why? Because is it the FA Cup defeat to Gillingham, which maybe knocked confidence, the lack of transfers in need of a boost, maybe people might say?
If you remember, we did speak about that. We spoke about the possibilities of, who did they lose to before Gillingham?
Spurs.
Then they lost to Gillingham. And we said, regardless of what team they put out, it'll still be a loss to Gillingham, which can then kick into suffering of confidence if you then go and lose to Huddersfield. And we're making the point, Huddersfield's a game that you had to win for more than just the points, for the confidence, for the fact that they're below you in the table and the gap you can create, and you were going to put yourself into 21 points and so on and so forth. So there was a lot riding on that game. So, listen, it's disappointing, but like I said earlier on one of the earlier editions, you know, no one expected us to be in the position we're in, and, you know,
but remarkably still outside the relegation zone despite that performance.
Yeah.
But it was a worse performance than a result, really, wasn't it?
I think that's what was highlighted by everybody and the fans alike, was, listen, if you play like that, you've got no chance of staying in the league. Right, and in fairness, they haven't played like that.
Not too often, no.
No, I wouldn't say they've played like that this season. That was just a dead stock performance to me. And, you know, I would expect them to come out, you know, all guns blazing next game and really, you know, reverse that sort of performance, if you like. Because, like I said, the significance of it, and for them not to perform at anywhere near their best, you wouldn't even, out of 10, you'd probably give them, you know,
two or three,
for performance level, you know, which, I don't know, maybe they, again, I thought maybe a bit of complacency, maybe it crept into their head because they got that monkey off their back of that first win away, and when we're sat on 18 points, and we're sat outside the relegation zone, and people had changed their rhetoric, maybe it was a bit of, you know, complacency, thinking we just need to turn up and beat Huddersfield, or maybe it was the first time that you it was put on your toes that you're expected to be.
I said it before the game actually to someone in the right. press room. I said, when have Cardiff ever been sort of favorites. Big favourites? And not just favourites, Blakey. Everyone expected them to win the game.
Yeah, roll over. Roll over Huddersfield. And in fairness to Huddersfield,
they played well actually.
That quartet in midfield, they played really, really well.
I thought that Billing was very good in midfield. Phil Billing, he had a very good game. Cardiff struggled to deal with.
Puncher was brilliant for long being out. I thought they done really well. I really did.
Paul, how do Cardiff put that aside and kick on? Because it's another crucial game coming up this weekend, of course, against Newcastle.
Well, I think they address the reasons that they played poorly. Whether it's complacency or whatever, that's easy to get over, right? But I think. And really, we need Blakey's insight into this. But, you know, I tweeted at half-time, for me, this is the worst, given the standard of opposition, this is the worst performance I've 45 minutes I've seen from Cardiff all season. And I was there when they'd been battered by Liverpool, Chelsea, I've seen Man City, but that was the worst for me. I remember saying they're sitting too deep, Blakey.
Mm.
The midfield is far too deep as part of that as well, whereas against Leicester, Camarasa, Arta, and Gunnarsson were hunting as a trio in packs on the front foot all game long. Patterson didn't look fit up top to me, and I think his limitations that you have gone on about, Blakey, were exposed. That's not Patterson's fault, right?
But no, he's done a great job.
He hasn't got the pace to run in behind the others.
It was as basic as the passing as well, Paul. The passing was just off.
I've got to say, the substitutions I found a little bit questionable. I've questioned very little that Neil Warnock's done this season, and I won't for the rest of the season probably, but I thought leaving Bobby Reid and Josh Murphy on the bench,
I didn't get that.
When it was crying out for significant change, putting Joe Ralls on for Camarasa for me was a defensive move rather than offensive.
I think Camarasa was carrying injury though, wasn't he?
No, but when he came off, and sending Healy on ahead of Murphy and Reid. I struggled with that.
I'm
happy to be told I'm wrong here.
No. I think what Neil Warnock is thinking there is, I think he's maybe being a bit too clever. I think if you bring back Healy, and I've always rated him, I think he's a good player. I think if you bring back Healy and put him straight in and he nicks a goal, everyone goes, wow, masterstroke.
Yeah.
Blah, 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 blah. If you play well and win, it gets overlooked. The performance was so poor, you highlighted every single decision. You're looking at it and you think to yourself, well, logic. What logically makes Healy step ahead of Reid?
His record doesn't compare, does it?
Well, he's not even been for a start. It's not fair on Reese. He's gone from playing
MK Dons
League 2 to Premier League. Now, come on. You're asking a player to step up three leagues to arguably the best league in the world. Okay, you're up against Huddersfield. But you're asking him to step up. And it's still the pressures of this is the Premier League in a team that he hasn't played for how long?
He's been on loan since the start of the season and was on loan at the back end of last season.
So, a year? Not played with some of these players he hasn't even met?
He's trained with them for a week, maybe?
If that. And gone straight in and played? I really thought to myself, I really felt for Bobby Reid. Because I thought that game was crying out for him, to be honest with you.
Blake, thought his pace and trickery. This season
his pace and trickery. I thought he would have caused them all sorts. Really caused them all sorts.
So,
because we said, didn't we? You know, if Camarasa is your advanced midfielder in a three.
If
he's not there, the game that Reid played where he scored, I can't remember who it was, but he worked back into midfield as well.
Fulham, wasn't it?
Yeah, I thought he was tremendous in that game. And I thought that game was set up for someone like him to just go and cause havoc. But he does a great defensive shift as well.
Against that calibre of opposition, Reid's proven last season for Bristol
City
and for Cardiff.
So to answer your question, Dom, of how do they bounce back from it, I think there are lessons to learn there. I also think that, there's less pressure on them away from home. If you see what I mean, so, you know, there's less. you know, a draw against Newcastle, I would take that now. Blakey,
well, it keeps
may
them,
not.
Keeps
I,
them
I would take that now. Yeah. I would not. Somebody said to me at heart, well, I think you said to me during the game, would you take a draw now after about 65 minutes when Huddersfield were right on top?
That's why I said it, because it looked like they
could
lose.
And I said, no, I wouldn't. But I would take it against Newcastle right now, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. On a positive note, and kind of take this going into the Newcastle game, I think that's the third clean sheet in four Premier League matches.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Huge, brilliant foundation from which to build upon. Mm. And I also thought Blakey's mate was fantastic, Mendes Lang. Mm. I thought upon his return, and again, I was a bit bemused that he was taken off. I can hope it down to tiredness or something, although he'd just gone on a wonder run just before that. Mm. But I thought Mendes Lang offered something that the rest of the Cardiff team couldn't offer in terms of a cutting edge. So I think he could he be a factor, Blakey, in the closing months of the season?
I would love, if I was
or is he out of his depth at this level?
Oh, Mendes?
Yeah.
No, if I was managing Mendes, I would probably do extra sessions with him, just one-on-one with a fullback all the time. Just getting past him, getting past him, getting past him, getting past him, and getting him back into that. Because I've said it before, he's so well disciplined as a winger.
Mm.
Right? Fullbacks, every fullback I know would love to play with him because of his discipline.
Mm.
Defensively, he's always in the right position. He tracks, he'll track you out of the stadium if he has to. He's fantastic. And he is, okay, people say, oh yeah, he's not the most skilled player. But listen, when you've got that raw pace...
It doesn't have to be, does
it? It doesn't have to be. It's what I've been saying about Junior. Yeah. Just push it past him and go, right? Because what it does, it frightens the life out of the defence, the whole of them.
Yeah.
The keeper's on eggshells. He's thinking, shall I come, shall I stay, shall I come, shall I stay? And, you know, that little turn he done and then got outside the fullback. And I thought, yeah, brilliant. So for me, and you've got to understand, Paul, the more games you play at this level... Because let's not forget, he come from League One,
yeah,
and in two seasons he's in the Premier League, and he's been had a major injury as well, mate. You know, give him a run of 10, 15 games, I think he becomes our biggest threat.
Because
I think he's more aggressive than Murphy.
Yeah,
he's. I would say in a flat race they're probably neck and neck.
Yeah,
I'm not sure who would win, but. Yeah. Maybe one of them would be just ahead of the other. But his power and his positional and his discipline and his aggression, he doesn't get knocked off the ball. He doesn't duck out of anything. He'll go into anybody. He'll run anybody. What I love about him, he doesn't seem to have any sort of fear about who he's playing against and what league he's playing in. And I think that is the foundation of your confidence to build and become a good Premier League player.
Right.
He's not going to be Gareth Bale.
Yeah,
but I would say he could be, or he could become.
He's almost Gareth Bale without the finesse, isn't he?
Yeah, he's a proper boy. I've always liked him, you know.
And also, Blakey, we talk about lack of fitness, and Patterson maybe was carrying a knock. Camarasa and Bamba looked like they were maybe carrying knocks as well.
Yeah,
I think Warnock said that.
Worrying, yeah.
Mendes Lang's not played a huge amount of football, so could it now be his time to shine almost? Difficult winter period that you talk about, you need freshness, fresh legs.
Because if you notice, most of the injuries are muscle injuries people are going down with.
Hamstrings.
And it's always between December and, say, mid-February. You've got that stretch where you go through the cold winter, into the cold winter, and then into the Christmas period, which really takes it out of you. Then January, where it's freezing, and then the muscles start to fatigue and pull and what have you. So you're at that period at the moment. But as you say, Dom, he's fresh as a daisy. And we already know when, you know, the season he first came, last season, his first 3 or 4 months, his fitness level is incredible in games.
He did actually tail off at this time last season, actually, Mendes Lang. But the fact that he's not played maybe means he can have his purple patch.
But I always say when he tailed off, he was always very good positionally. He always
done
a job for you. He's brilliant.
He's
brilliant.
Probably could say the same about Reid, in that he may be a bit fresh and could play
prominent
a role.
I think if Neil Warnock probably had that game again, he probably changed one or two personnel, because I think he out-trumped himself a bit. I think he probably thought too much about how I'm going to maybe chuck a curveball, and probably chuck too many curveballs, rather than just saying, I'll just stick to that, and maybe I'll have a plan A and a plan B, and that'll be it. It was kind of like,
it was agree a bit, completely.
It was
yeah.
a bit wishy-washy,
like, second guessing.
Yeah.
Talk about personnel. One potentially forced change of personnel against Newcastle this weekend, and maybe beyond that, is the captain Sean Morrison, who we believe has had an operation or procedure. Sorry, Cardiff City released this statement late on Tuesday, Paul. If we're talking about Morrison being missing, what does that mean for the back line? It probably means Bruno Manga comes into centre-back. But could it actually benefit Cardiff? Because Morrison has struggled of late.
Well, the other thing to say is that Matt Connolly was going to Hull on loan, and that got pulled at the last minute on Tuesday night because of the concerns about Morrison. So one presumes, because Connolly has been brought back by Cardiff, at the 11th hour, one presumes there is a doubt about Morrison for the Newcastle game. Listen,
we've called for Manga at centre back on this podcast for a while now. So
I think Manga, pound for pound, Manga has arguably been, well, you know, you can He's argue Etheridge, you can argue
certainly
Etheridge,
best
you
defender.
Can, Etheridge, you can argue Camarasa, you can argue Arthur.
I don't think Camarasa's been as consistent.
Okay,
as
I think Manga's arguably been the best player, and he's done it playing out of position at right back, centre back. You know,
you've got two choices, isn't he, Neil? He either puts Manga across and Peltier in the right back.
Yeah.
Or he leaves Manga where he is and brings Connolly in. It's as simple as that.
Yeah.
Or he buys someone.
That's probably the bit difficult. <isn't it? laughs>
Yeah. What do you think, Blakey?
I think you'll go with the Manga across and the Peltier into defensive.
Because you've talked up Manga and Bamba quite a bit, haven't you?
Yeah, I would love to see that partnership. Yeah. I would have loved to see it like flourish and develop.
Yeah.
Because you know, it sounds cold, but I'm not sentimental about people.
No.
You know, I just want to win.
Yeah.
Not by all costs, because I don't want to kill anybody, but players have to understand when, you know, it's called for, the situation is called for.
And yeah.
Things move on. And when you're progressing, you know, sometimes you're surplus to requirements. It's as simple as that.
Yeah.
And, you know, this game is about winning games, getting points, and trying to get this capital city to survive in the Premier League. It's not about anybody's personal choices of liking someone or disliking someone or don't want to do this because he's that or this or that. I'm not interested in all that. All I'm interested in is best team, squad, right, out of those 22 players, I'm going to pick my best 11 to go out and win games.
Yeah.
And I believe that. I would love to see Bamba and Manga in that centre-back partnership because I think Bruno's had a fantastic season. But I will say, if he is moved into that position, again, it's a change. So even though it's his natural position, he's not naturally been there for 6 months, a year. So it's going to take him a time to adjust back to that position. So expect a mistake or two, but then don't jump on him and say, Morrison back in. We've got to let him, you know, get his feet and get used to playing with Peltier and alongside Saul, and you know, it's a totally different role. So cut him some slack.
I think a lot of fans talk about this as well, don't they, Tom? You know?
Yeah, well, Manga's been very popular this season because I think fans see that he's a little bit wasted at right back, and I don't mean that as any disrespect because I just think his skills are better suited to a centre position. We spoke about it before. He doesn't want to surge forward on the overlap.
But when he does, he always does well.
Yeah, he does. He does his best. That sounds really patronising, but he really does.
He always does a good job when he does go forward. But it's not his natural game to go forward.
No. What I like seeing is when the ball comes up, a high ball comes up and he's defending, the way he brings it down with such skill. I don't think anyone else on the Cardiff team can do that. Mm. Maybe Camarasa could, but not in a defensive way. So I'd love to see Manga given a go at centre-back. And we probably need to talk about whether that means Cardiff should then go and sign a right back.
Well, I think they've been desperate for a right back, and it's been documented.
Yeah.
And I've said, probably since last season, by playing Manga as that right back when Peltier was in there, you are going to need, because if you're in the Premier League, and this is about like recruitment, scouting, and understanding, you know, don't get to the party, you know, get your outfit before the party. Do you know what I mean? Don't get to the party and then get dressed. Do it before. Do you know what I'm saying?
I love that, yeah,
because you know, you last season to me, towards the end of the season when it became highly likely we were going to go up, right? no disrespect to Lee Peltier. I've always said, love him because he's a knuckler, takes people out, right? But he doesn't want to go forward. That's patently obvious to everybody. He's not a right back who's going to surge down the line, overlap, get crosses in. He just wants to give it to his winger and sit. And I like those kind of defenders, but you're stepping up to the Premier League. So, you know, the problem of needing a right back, which Neil has identified, to me has been sat there for an eternity.
Yeah,
almost,
go out and sort it.
Yeah, you can.
The Nathaniel Clyne
should have had it
obviously
in the summer. You know what I mean? It should have been seen to in the summer. Go out and sign. We said last season we're going to need far more attack-minded fullbacks, and they need to get forward. We said Bennett can do it. He's got a great cross of the ball on the run, but needs to do it more. Start of the season, it wasn't developing, but you wait until January. And you're still, you know, that's a major problem, and you're still not resolving it. There seems to be all this focus on a striker. Well, okay, let someone deal with that. Chief exec, chairman, whoever. Right, we need to go and get that fullback there. Why? Because that is going to help us, you know, gather points towards the end of the season. Yeah. Gives us better options. Well, not different options, better options.
Well, Bournemouth wanted a striker and a right back, and they got them in the first few days of the window. Well, and Solanke and Klein, you know, Cod, obviously wanted Klein.
No, it's. I don't know.
Problems in the transfer market, which we're actually going to discuss after the break. So we'll be back in a short while for that.
Subscribe to The Boot Room on iTunes or listen on walesonline.co.uk.
So we'll start with Nathaniel Klein and Adrian Tomizi, who Cardiff missed out on, but we want to get quickly on to Emiliano Sala.
Mm.
Nathan, two transfers going by the wayside earlier in the window. It's worried fans. Has it worried you?
Yes. I would say not worried when I've, you know, stayed up at night and stuff like that. You know what I mean? But you've got to look at it and think to yourself, you know, why? Excuse me, everybody wants to play in the Premier League. Or La Liga. One of the two. That's the two biggest and brightest leagues in the world. You know, so when that opportunity comes around, you've got to ask yourself, why would a player turn down an opportunity? And then you've got to, right, okay, well, we have to look at ourselves. You know, did the player look at the training facilities and think, nah? Did he look at the coaching and think, nah? Did he look at the manager and think, nah? Did he look at the system of play and think, nah? Did he look at the personnel and think, nah? You know, and it's no good then chucking your toys out of the pram and saying, well, we do, we forget it then. Because all players are going to do that. You know, if you're signing for Cardiff tomorrow, you're going to want to know, right,
yeah,
what's the club like, what's the manager like, what's the boys like, what system of play, you know, how many
games
they won,
what's
it like to live in that city, you know, all these things.
Well,
so
that's one thing they won't be saying nah to, because it's a wonderful city, isn't
beach,
it?
Beach, so, city, yeah. Countryside.
Got everything.
God's country, yeah. In it. So it's no problem on that front. Only 2 hours from London, like I always say, that's a big positive as well. But you have to ask yourself, right, what is it that these players, like Klein, like Tomizi, like Salah, although there's speculation that he is going to come, why are they questioning, you know, whether to come or not? What is there of significance that's holding them back or stopping them?
Well, can anyone answer that? Can you have a go, Paul?
Well, I think Klein, it clearly is down to the style of football, is it not?
Probably,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know?
England international. Probably wanted to play for him, better in the league.
Tomizi, something was going on behind the scenes.
Well, Cardiff,
Cardiff were going to announce that deal over the late weekend or the Monday morning. And I noticed then on the Sunday, he was playing for his club side in France. And I thought, aye, something's not right here. If you're coming to join any team, you're not suddenly playing. And so something went awry there. For whatever reason, Cardiff pulled that. They've not gone into detail on that publicly, but they pulled out of that one.
Emiliano Sala's playing for Nantes against Nîmes on Wednesday night.
You know,
and he played against Rennes the other night.
Warnock, fans won't like to hear this, but Warnock did warn this would go to the wire. And we've had the old things like Salah's come over here this week. And was it Salah or Salah? How do you pronounce it?
Well, we're getting confused between
Let's call it Salah.
Salah.
He came over here on Monday, but is playing for Nantes on Wednesday evening. Mm-hmm. So that deal's not being done just yet. So
why is it going to the wire, though? That's what I don't understand.
But it is.
It was identified the targets, positions we needed, right? I don't understand. Listen, I understand the ramifications of a transfer, and they can go wrong in so many ways.
Yeah.
But I always say, you have your, you know, if it's me and you, Paul, we have our A, B, and C in that position.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Now, let's say you got three positions to fill. That's nine boys. Yeah, you can have three for each position. If I can't get him, I want him. Yeah. And if I can't get him, I want him. Now, if we say nine players, the chances of us losing out on all nine...
has to be slim, doesn't it?
Few or far between, I would say, as well. You know, so you've got to ask, right, what is the problem?
I guess the answer is...
because there's got to be a problem of some sort.
I guess the answer is, you say, why is it going to the wire? That's a very simplistic answer. You won't like here, Blakey. Mm. But my answer to that is, and I'm not defending the football club here, by the way, but my answer is, because that's what happens in these transfer windows. Since they
only to us, though.
Well, no, it's not just to Cardiff. Since they bought in these windows, it just seems to be everything... pitches.
Yeah, but you
towards
know,
the it, last, it,
how
the
many?
Last
how long? How long has the transfer window been going?
No, it has. I don't.
Do you know what I mean?
I'm not disagreeing. We're
halfway through, aren't we?
No, I mean, as in the system.
Yeah,
it's been going like a decade or more.
Apart from
Bournemouth, you know the system.
I'm happy to be correct on this. So I think I'm right in saying, apart from Bournemouth, no Premier League team has particularly done much.
Well, Chelsea signed Pulisic, and
yeah, but he's not playing for another year.
Well, they sorted out the loan back option.
So you know. We're talking about Bournemouth.
Yeah, but look how quickly Chelsea got that deal done. Got him, signed him, and loaned him back. All within...
Yeah, so we're talking two teams, out of 20.
There will be others, right?
Mm. But Cardiff, to be fair to them, it appears they did have their A targets, which were Klein and Tomisi.
Mm-hmm.
And they thought they'd got them both. Now... Klein decided they did. They
what your mother used to tell you.
This Warnock, is like a completely new
Warnock,
part
don't
of the
count
show,
your chickens.
Well, obviously, because they thought that, you know, they were pretty much over the line, both of them. And clearly they weren't, for whatever reasons. So they've had to go from plan A to, you say, to plan B. Yeah?
And it may past, well
did Tomisi set foot in Wales?
I don't know.
That would be a telltale sign.
I don't know is the honest answer to that.
Well, we know that Emiliano Sala has set foot in Wales. He had talks on Monday evening with the club. Blakey,
that won't look good if he don't sign.
No, well, and we're getting conflicting reports from friends that he's accepted the deal or not accepted, or none have accepted and not accepted. So it's a saga. It's an Emiliano saga.
Mm.
Nothing's
ever straightforward. That's
you've it. Watched him a little bit, haven't you, Nathan?
So I watched him the other night.
Tell us a bit about
him. Yeah, Ren played played Ren. It's a derby in France, so you know, big game, good game to watch him in. Flat-footed player, runs very heel to toe, very flat-footed. Not quick at all. Very much a width of the box player. Not going to run into channels from time to time. Will do, but he's not. He's not an athlete then. And what we'll have to do is we'll have to deliver crosses because he likes to attack the ball from crosses, especially in the air. And the likes of Junior and Murphy, they've been playing as winger stroke centre forwards. They're going to have to be wing providers. They're going to have to put a lot of crosses in the box for this player to be successful in the Premier League, in my opinion. But hold up play. Okay.
Because that's important for Cardiff. Isn't
yeah, not have to be straight, not brilliant, not someone who it stood out. I thought, yeah, he's a beast, like, you know, getting around him or anything like that. But put himself about, run hard, you know, had a good goal. Got dragged after about 60 minutes in the game. But Cardiff will definitely have to alter the way they play for that boy to get goals in the Premier League. It's, you know, what I don't like is when you just sign a player, put him in and say, right, Well, I had that at Bolton when I first signed. Colin Todd signed me and said, oh, we needed someone to put the ball in the net. Yeah, that's all we need.
Yeah.
And when I signed after four or five games, I was like, you needed a miracle. You didn't need a player. You needed miracles, mate. You know, we're nowhere near.
So what were they doing that didn't suit you?
Well, at Bolton, we just weren't strong enough as a team. It wasn't like any one player not doing something. We just weren't good enough as a collective. Do you know what I mean? Myself included, stepped into that position. Still didn't prove us enough to be good enough to stay in the Premier League. It's as simple as that. You know, you've got to admit it, take it on the chin. But we are going to have to, as in Cardiff, we're going to have to adapt with the way they play, definitely. And they've got to realise as well, you know, he's up against playing one up front for Nantes against, you know, French league opposition. It's different to playing one up front in the Premier League.
Mm. But people do adapt, don't they? Yeah, well, some people don't.
It's fast, it's quick, it's aggressive, it's strong, this league. It's highly technical. You know, it's got the best of everything across the board. So, you know, if you're facing a Huddersfield every week, it's a different kettle of fish. But when you're facing the kind of teams and defences and managers and tactics that he's going to be coming up against, it is a definite step up, probably two step ups from Liga.
You talk about it, well, it clearly is, but obviously Cardiff are in a position where necessity is king and they have to get who they can, and obviously they've identified him. But should they be paying whatever it may be, 15, 20 million pounds for someone who they have to adapt to? Or is it just can't get someone who will fit?
I just think you're not going to get anyone for less than 20 million quid who's half decent. Mm. As simple as that. The 20 million mark is for an average player now. You know, you don't look at Salah. You don't look at Salah and think, oh, you know, he's going to change us, you know, drastically or anything like that. If you ask me, can he get 10 goals, if he does come, could he get 10 goals between now and the end of the season? Yeah, but not in the way.
You have to get it right for
him. Well, first of all, we need more of the ball. I think that was so evident against Huddersfield. Huddersfield resting in possession of the ball is so important. Keep it. You rest in possession now. Because if you're out of possession, you're chasing. It's as simple as that. So you cannot afford to... You can't afford to get... Huddersfield can't come to Cardiff City and get 65-70% of possession.
Well, they did.
What are you talking about? You know, that is a definite what you're talking about, Willis sort of thing. It can happen. You've got to improve. And we've said that all season. Cardiff need to improve their possession stats. Possession of the football. It's key.
It looked like they were going to as well.
What are the other ways they've got to change them? By just getting the wingers going down the wing?
Well, the wingers wingers, I would say, first and foremost, cross the ball with... If you're Murphy and you're playing on the left, cross the ball with your left foot. If nothing worse, it's okay at times, but stopping, checking, and then crossing it like Junior does with his right foot isn't going to be... Because Salah likes to attack the ball as soon as it's coming in.
Yeah.
Right? So he's getting across his defender. When if you stop and check, he stops and checks, but he's not athletic and quick where he's going to reset quickly and get back on the end of things. So I would say a left foot to play on the left and a right foot to play on the right. Go down the outside of your full backs and you've got to get crosses in or around the 18-yard box. Don't cross the ball from 35 yards. That's just a punt in the box.
Yeah.
Get past people, or if the full back's 10 yards off you and you're 3 or 4 yards outside the 18-yard box, bend that one in around the penalty spot. And that boy would attack it and he'll probably score goals, you know.
And would you play a Reed off him or a Patterson off him or a midfield three deeper behind him? What system do you see him fitting?
It'd be Reed or Camarasa for
me. You think that needs
one of those two,
a number 10?
Yeah, one of those two. And then Patterson, you know, I'm not sure what I'd do with Patterson at this moment in time. Because he warrants a place in my team, do you know what I mean?
He's too versatile for his own good.
He warrants a place for his sheer endeavour, work rate, and his aggression. You know, I love that. You know, I might even take him out and just rest him up a couple of games and then put him back in, you know.
And no doubt Salah will probably need resting and need to maybe to be taken off and shielded a little bit if he adapts, if he does sign to the Premier League.
Well, I would point out that by then Kenneth Zohar will be back. But anyway, let's move on.
You could play instead of playing two with a one ahead in midfield, you could play three dogs of war and two strikers. That's what you could do, which is going to give you far more in and around the box. Do you know what I mean? So you could play Patterson and Salah. You know what I mean? Neither of them are quick, but you are going to have a platform. One of them's always going to be a platform. You're kind of looking at the kind of pattern where you then, you know, pull off to the far stick and play a lot of diagonal balls.
I haven't seen Salah. This is brilliant insight that Blake has given to the listeners and the Cardiff City fans into what sort of player he is. But I hope Cardiff are not getting some glorified version of Gary Medine here, Blakey, who's not quick and, you know.
And the proof will be in the eating of the pudding.
That's not very encouraging then, is it?
Well, he scored 13 goals in France, and Medine hadn't scored in a year for Cardiff, so that's the positive side of that.
I would say he's probably a bit more mobile than Gary Medine, yeah.
But you're not saying he's particularly mobile though, are you?
He's not an athlete. I'm saying that to you. I've said that right from the get-go. He's not an athlete. He's just going to be an out-and-out 18-yard width. Okay. You know, you're not going to get him on the halfway line up against Wes Morgan. He's not going to outrun Wes Morgan. You know, he's not that kind of, you know. And you think of the players from France, like Lacazette struggled when they first come here, and you think of the ability those type of players got. You know, you're looking at Salah, he's not up there with that type of ability. So you are, it's no point signing him and not playing to his strengths, because that's not fair.
No.
And as a team, you've got to recognise that, boys. This boy likes to get in the box or crosses early, in behind the back four. He likes to attack the ball. That's, you know, you've got to sit down and plan. You can't just chuck him in there and say, go on. Oh, he didn't score goals. You know, what have you done to help him score goals? Simple as that.
Brilliant insight.
Yeah, very
brilliant
good stuff.
Insight. Fascinating, I found that.
Let's have another break then, and then we'll ask Blakey some questions.
Got a question for Blakey? Tweet us at Cardiff City Live.
So lots coming in, Nathan, from the listeners. This one nicely ties in transfers and Shaw Morrison, which we've obviously been talking about. Comes from Sam Reen.
Hello, Sam.
Does Blakey think we need to buy a new central defender as a backup to Morrison or Bamba or Manga as well? Obviously, you throw it into that mix, Sam. Especially if Morrison may be out for a while.
I'd be more concerned about the full-back position. I'm not overly concerned about the centre-back position. Because like I said, I would prefer to see Manga there. And you're talking, if Morrison's having a procedure, you're talking, what, let's say a month. So let's just say Bamba went down with a hamstring. Can Connolly come in for two or three games? I'm more confident in coming in.
You'd be happy with him, even though he's not played?
Yeah, I don't think, unless you're going to go and spend serious dough, you're not going to get a better player than him. Do you know what I mean? You're going to have to spend serious dough, and Cardiff aren't prepared to spend serious dough. They're not going to spend 15, 20 million on a centre defender. And to me, Sam, that's not, you know, the area which needs to be improved, essentially.
Mm.
You know,
there are certainly bigger priorities. And I think
if Bruno goes over there, it will improve. No disrespect to anybody. I just think it will improve. But essentially, I think striker, centre back, and creativity in midfield are the three positions I would go for. I would even go for another left back before I would go for a centre back.
Interesting. Well, you can see where Sam's coming from.
Or a winger. Centre back's probably my least worry.
I'd say goalkeeper, but there you go.
Yeah.
This is a great one from Phil Weston, which I'm sure you two will enjoy.
All right, Phil.
How do existing squads react to big signings coming into the dressing room mid-season? Did Big Stanty get a hard time back in 92-93?
Hard time? What do you mean? I'm guessing
he's saying, is it difficult for them to integrate? Is the
no? The lads are great. Lads are always great. That's something you can say when you're a new signing at a football club. Every personality is different.
Phil Stam wasn't a big signing anyway. I mean, he was a big personality certainly, wasn't he, in that dressing room, Blakey? Yeah. But I wouldn't, you know, he certainly wasn't somebody cost a fortune or anything.
No,
like
I mean, he came with a reputation though, didn't he?
All right.
His reputation kind of went before him. Yeah. This SAS, tough guy, and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
But, and he was a very good finisher, and he was known to be a good finisher in the lower leagues. So, Sorry, Dom, what was the question? Paul tripped me up.
It was saying to the new signings who come in January get a bit of a hard time. Yeah, I do think you've answered
No, they don't. The lads are great. They integrate you. In my day, what you'd do is we'd all grab the new player and six or seven of us would meet at the local hotel, which was connected to the club, and just sit in the bar and get drunk and have a good time. And you tend to see the real person then when the guard's down. Do you understand what I mean?
Yeah, get to know the person.
So you get them a bit tipsy, and then you get to know the person, and you really, and then they integrate. And then you've got, it's funny because, I mean, you wouldn't do it now, but silly things happen. Like, you know, I don't know, whatever, I'm not going to say any stories you do. You go into the dressing room next day, you're all talking about it, laughing, joking, and the person feels really integrated. And then, you know, Colin Todd was brilliant for it, because what he'd done was, when I joined, we got relegated, and then the following season we got promoted, like a brilliant promotion. And what he'd done at the start of the season, he made it compulsory for everyone, every Wednesday, I think it was, or Tuesday if we didn't have a game, to go out and eat together after training. But what he'd always insist on is you had to sit with different people every week. So what you ended up doing was actually really, really integrating. I've always said it was a great tool. And if I was ever a manager, I would use that tool to say, right, because Paul spends time with Dom at work, but I guarantee you, Dom doesn't know much about Paul and his children, and Paul doesn't know about Dom's missus and have they ever met. Do you know what I mean? It's good because, well, that season, I think 13 of us had children within, I think it was 10 months. It made the Daily Mirror. But we were saying it was because the vibe was so vibrant, happy all the time, laughing, jovial, joking, mick taking, new players who would come in. It was just a fantastic time to be as a unit, and that's important.
Good life
players.
Advice from Nathan Blake. I love that. That's great. This one comes via Twitter from @BluebirdsGossip. He says, we've discussed this in the past, but it's a really good question for this time of the year.
Yeah.
Do you think Cardiff City need an experienced director of football to deal with transfers, etc.? He says, call me anytime.
Call me anytime.
Well, funny you say that, Nathan. Back on over on Facebook, Ed Hopkins says, do you think that you could do a job as director of football?
100%, of course I could.
But in terms of that role at Cardiff?
I understand the game. I understand what an academy is supposed to produce. I'm not concerned about, you know, this coach and that coach. You know, the coach, listen, if the academy is not producing players, then it's the coaching. It's quite simple, because Cardiff are in a position where they've had the pick of the bunch, the cream of the crop, for an awful long time. So if you're not getting players through, look at the coaches and improve that standard. Whether you have workshops and improve the coaching or whatever, but that needs to improve. Then the 23s, right, I call it like an extended scholarship. But if you're not out on loan, I'm going to get you. You need to speak to your agent, get out, loan, get games. And I'm not going to stick you at Merthyr Tydfil. You know, no disrespect. I'm not going to stick you in the Welsh League. I'm going to stick you at the likes of Newport County, Bristol Rovers, depending on level, Swindon Town, Exeter's maybe. I'm going to develop that side of thing. Then there's the financial side of play. You've got to make sure that you've got a good recruitment and scouting in place to make sure you've got a global network.
What about that side of it at the moment, especially the transfer side of it? If Cardiff had someone in that role, how much easier would we see these snags in these deals?
Well, it takes the weight off Neil. Neil can liaise with someone, and you know, I've always said though, you can't have a technical director who's not aligned with the manager, right? And that comes then from up above, CEO, chairman, owner. What do you want? Do you want a coach or do you want a manager? They're totally different, right? A manager manages the club and the players and what have you. A coach just coaches. Technical director brings the players in, says, right, I think that is what we need. That's how we play. That appeases our fans. That is our philosophy. So it's, you know, it's no good me going in as a technical director with Neil, because my philosophy and his philosophy are apart. yeah? And what's going to happen is Neil's going to want certain type of player, and I'm going to say, well, that's not going to progress us the way I think we could for that type of money. Like, if you're asking me about Salah, I wouldn't be looking at Salah to sign for Cardiff City right now. I would be looking at more of an athletic player who can run channels, because we don't have much of the ball, so we need to play on a counter-attack system, right? Until we improve our possession stats, we are a counter-attack team. So it's no point having one option striker where you just play the ball up to him. That striker needs to be able to hold the ball up and run. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. He needs to give me options. So that is where the problem would lie with the technical director and the manager. And I think most managers, like Neil, especially old school, that's what they're seeing, which they don't like, is when a club brings in a technical director, he's signing players that I don't want, which I always find a bit of a nothing argument, really, because as long as he's signing quality, you should be able to work with it. And I know what quality looks like. Look at you, Dom. I look at you every day. Not much, mate.
Do you know what podcast quality looks like, though? That's the big question.
This is it, baby.
It's compelling stuff, and you know the argument for director of football is out there now. So many clubs are using them and getting big results out of doing so. So
it's got to be. It's a thing.
It's the future.
Yeah,
isn't it?
It is. And I like I say, but it's no good. It's your philosophy on how you view the game have got to be not exactly the same, and there's give and take on both sides. That's compromise. That's life. That's business. But they have to be a similar. Like, I know Cardiff City fans don't want to see pass. Do you know what I liken us to? The team of the top four or five, Chelsea. That is a Cardiff City model.
Right.
Pace. Powerful.
Don't want to see
one or two or three skilled technical players, but always strong, always powerful, you know, good setup, play a good system. They've gone from a defensive counter-attacking system to now stepping forward to, you know, pressing and keep ball, you know, and opening teams up. So they've switched from one, it's very difficult, from one extreme to the other.
You can't see Cardiff doing that.
But as a club, as a whole, what they do and what they're about, I would liken Cardiff to Chelsea. Liverpool's different, Man United's different. I would liken Cardiff to a Chelsea in the way the fans think and the kind of philosophy they'd accept. They're not going to accept 30 passes and then a cross. They'll accept 9, 10... But it's not, you know, it's Swansea and Cardiff are poles apart, and the fans and the way they think and what they want to see.
Oh, it's what we talked about in
our
terms
fans
of
got a lack of patience. They don't want to see 20 goals. They want to see up at them, fight, pace, power, boom, skill. That's just traditionally Cardiff.
Interesting stuff. Very good. Well, without further ado, without a break, we're going to get straight into our predictions and then finish with our Newcastle predictions.
I'll read them out.
I forgot.
Paul's going to read them out.
I'll read them out for Blakey, yeah?
Go on, mate.
Short and sharp, yeah? Watford-Leicester.
Watford-Leicester, I'm going to go for a Watford 2-1, 3-1 win. Watford.
3-1. Bournemouth-West Ham.
Oh, I'm going to go with a 2-2 draw.
2-2. Liverpool-Palace.
Liverpool-Palace... I would go 1-1.
Ooh, drop points.
Man United, Brighton.
Man United, Brighton and Man U. I'm going to go 2-0.
Southampton, Everton.
Southampton, Everton. Everton off a 1-0 win. Southampton on a good run. I'm going to go Southampton 2-1.
Southampton to win, yeah?
Yeah.
Watford Burnley?
Watford.
No, hang on, you've got Watford twice here, Dom. This should be Wolves Burnley, shouldn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, that's my mistake. I've written it down wrong.
Watford B team.
My amateur preparation for this podcast has been exposed.
Well, the top four have been asking for B teams in the league, and Dom's just provided it.
We'll come back to that. Arsenal Chelsea?
Arsenal Chelsea. I'm going to go with a 3-2 away win.
I got it wrong, Nathan. This is my apologies. We'll keep this in. I'm not going to edit this out. It's Wolves Leicester and Watford Burnley.
Right. Okay, so Watford Burnley.
Watford Burnley. Watford Burnley.
Cardiff at home. That's a
I'm
going
to go a 2-1 win. Watford Burnley.
Rewind to Wolves Leicester. You staying at 3-1?
Wolves at home. Leicester. I'll go. Yeah, no. Wolves, Leicester. I'll go. It's kind of a damn minute. 2-1 win. Wolves.
Okay, not really a significant change there, Dom.
No.
Fulham, Spurs.
See you later, mate. Derby, they can't win for a love of money. Be irony now that they go and beat Spurs with Harry Kane out, innit? Harry Kane out. Oh my god, the world is ending.
Oh. What are you going for?
Fulham duo winning, they surely.
Against Spurs.
Spurs have been looking a bit leggy to me over the last couple of weeks. But I'm gonna go with Spurs 1-0.
Huddersfield, managed this weekend by Cardiff City, in inverted commas, icon Mark Hudson.
Well, not inverted commas, he gets icon status,
doesn't he? Mark Hudson versus Manchester City.
I get ripped apart.
0-19.
I'm seeing it. No, I'm not. I'm going to go 0-5.
And so we come to Newcastle v Cardiff.
Come on, the Blues!
Huge game.
Big trip for Cardiff City up to St James's Park. I'm looking forward to it myself.
I love that stadium. I love St James's Park.
I'm not going to this one, but I love going up to Newcastle.
Oh, it's just a fabulous
great
time. City.
Fabulous
city. Time. Great people.
Yeah, fabulous time last time Cardiff were there in the Premier League, apart from the football itself. I think it was 3 or 4.
It's one of those clubs, Newcastle. It's kind of like, you know, it's so die-hard football. You just think, you know, they should be Champions League. You know, they should be another one of the ones who are challenging Champions League. Newcastle, Leeds United, all these teams.
I think I'm going to start with this one.
You can predict it. I don't want to predict that one.
You have to predict it. Okay. The listeners expect you to predict
you have
it.
To.
You have to.
You literally have to.
They're hanging on to your words.
Okay.
So we'll start with me
before we
get on to the real one, which is Blakey's prediction. I'm going to go for a draw. I'm going to go for 0-0.
Another 0-0, Paul.
0-0.
That'll be another
could
0-0.
Could be 1-1, but I'm going to go 0-0.
I think it's the kind of game, like Saturday, Huddersfield Cardiff. I think it's the kind of game that Newcastle know they have to win.
Okay.
I think Benitez,
yeah,
is so important. I'm going to go, unfortunately, a Newcastle win.
What's the score?
2-0.
Okay.
1-0, 2-0.
I also think draw. I think that Cardiff will score because I think they have to score really to answer some of their critics.
I'd take a 0-0.
I'm going to go 1-1 because I think Newcastle struggle for goals. So they won't be able to break Cardiff down too much.
Yeah, it's that Rondon, man. When he's on it, he's handful.
Yeah, Manga's back in the centre, it'll be fine.
Yeah, true.
I've got to say, as we wind this up, that Salah stuff was compelling, Blakey. Great.
Let's just hope he signs after
I watch. I watch all the football, German, Spanish, French, and I was flicking through the TV and I seen, Nantes v Rennes. I thought, meant to be, so I just recorded it and watched it not last night, the night before, and he was playing. I wasn't expecting him playing, he was playing, so I was able to just watch him.
Yeah, interesting stuff, and we'll have to obviously keep tabs on whether that deal will be done. You can obviously follow Wales Online for that. You can listen to the podcast there and also subscribe via iTunes. But from the three of us for today,
au revoir,
it's goodbye, and thanks for listening.